Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And last week we left you teetering on the fish course. Unfulfilled.
And they're so excited to hear what's coming next. Please be. So we're going to talk about sweetbreads.
You always talk about sweetbreads.
I do. Truffles, sweetbreads. I do have a repertoire of favorite foods.
So structuring, just to do a quick recap. Last week we were talking about having a super lavish dinner party, that once a year sort of thing. Everyone gets dressed up. You find the inspirational pieces of china or whatever it might be that furnishes your house or your dining room, and you have a scheme for the dinner party you're having. And so far we'd served oysters on the half shell with one can of champagne, a scallop course with the roe, and beurre blanc with another kind of champagne. Pinot Monoché with sole with a rich sauce, and
duck consommé.
Well, I'm sorry, we missed
the eggs.
The eggs you did in
and eggs in aspic.
With truffle, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, this time we want to get into. Usually, we'd structure some kind of a white meat course, and or an organ meat course, and or a game course, and or a red meat course. So probably two of those four. What do you want to do?
Actually, I think the sweetbreads could either be third or fourth course, but I'm going to go with it as a third course because we're going to do a pretty simple preparation. And we've kind of been talking about this menu in the wintertime, but if you are in the springtime and you want to take advantage of morel mushrooms, sweetbreads and morels are very, very good together. And sweetbreads...
You should get some morels probably third, fourth week of April.
Right. And just to go over what a sweetbread is, it's not a sweet bread, as some people may think.
It's not brains.
It's not brains. It is actually the thymus gland. I know no one wants to hear this, but really it's okay. It's just a part of an animal. It's a thymus gland, which is a gland in the neck of the veal calf. And it at one time was really thought as something that was very precious and really...
It's a delicacy, for sure.
A delicacy, for sure.
And it is a delicately textured...
They're delicious.
And delicate to cook.
They're mildly flavored. They're almost sweet in tone. They're clean tasting. I mean, it has an amazing texture. There's nothing scary about a sweetbread, so there's nothing to be afraid of. They're very, very wonderful things. And there's a little bit of a process because kind of everything we're talking about here is food that is going to take some effort to make. One of the things you need to do is first purge them, then you poach them, and then you're going to cook them to your preference. So the purging process, because it is a gland, it needs to be kind of washed through. So you can soak it overnight in ice water, and I would strongly suggest changing it. You know, maybe you come home from the grocery and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you put it in its first ice bath, and go ahead and change that before you go to sleep. And, maybe change it again when you get up in the morning, or you can just run them under cold water. But I think the easiest way, not wasting water, is to just put them in the refrigerator in ice and water. And then you would prepare a court bouillon, which is basically an aromatic broth, and that's water, white wine, bay leaf, peppercorns, and the tops of celery. And you just bring that up to a boil and let it simmer for about 20 minutes before you would ever add the sweetbreads. And that way the broth has done its work. And
do you salt that broth or salt the sweetbreads before you poach them?
I do not. There's no salt involved. And so once the broth has done its thing, then you can put the sweetbreads in, and you would poach them about 6 minutes on a pretty good simmer.
To somewhere like you would think of as like medium rare or something
right.
like that.
Right, or maybe even medium, actually. I would say medium, not medium rare.
Not cooked through, but firmed up.
You want to leave room to cook them further, but you don't want them to be under because you won't like them if they're undercooked.
Yeah.
And so
it's
I would
one
say
of those
medium.
Things you kind of have to nail the cooking of.
You do.
On both steps.
And you need to be conscious of the fact that some of them might be thinner than the others, so the thicker ones, pieces need to go in first so that they cook evenly, the different pieces. And when you pull them out, you should shock them in ice water to stop the cooking process. And then you want to pull any, there's a membrane on the outside, and you want to remove any of that membrane that you possibly can. Don't work too hard at it, but things that are easily peeled off, you want to peel off. And then you need to press it. So you put the sweetbreads in a pan with another pan on top of them and something weighing them down. We use number 10 cans, so I don't know what you're going to
use
at home.
Not everyone has summer. I guess, what is that, like a paint can or something?
Yeah, well, don't use your paint can, please. Use something food-oriented, or brick wrapped in foil or plastic wrap, something with weight. Weigh them down. And you want to weigh them down for a couple of hours, and then you take them out of there and you slice them. And you want to slice them pretty thin. And I like to grill sweetbreads. So I would lightly dust that slice of sweetbread with flour and a little bit of salt. And I brush my grill and with oil. And then I begin the process of grilling a sweetbread. I actually brush the sweetbread with the oil the entire time I cook them on both sides and lightly salt it. You can put a tiny bit of pepper on there if you like. And you want them to be crispy on the outside and almost sort of creamy on the inside. And it usually takes about 8 to 10 minutes to really get it nicely done without burning them, charring them, you know, on a lower heat on your grill. You want them to be sort of golden and crispy. And the morel sauce you can make ahead. You could either make a sauce or you could just serve it with sauteed morels, which would be beautifully, you know, perfectly fine to do. So if you just, you know, one of the things you have to worry about with morels a little bit is that they are a wild mushroom and they do grow on the forest floor. And of course, they're going to have pine needles and dirt and they might have a few little bugs in there. And so you do want to kind of rapidly run them through. Remember that mushrooms are like sponges. So if you let them sit in water, they're going to absorb a massive amount of water and you're going to have a huge problem. So you want to kind of just quickly, you know, just swish them through some water, get them out and drain them very well, and then saute them in butter with a little bit of salt and a tiny bit of, you could add a little bit of shallots and serve that over the sweetbreads. I am a lover of lemon brown butter with sweetbreads. If you don't already have that in your meal, which we did talk about putting on the fish, you could do the morels with lemon brown butter and the sweetbreads, or you make a cream sauce, which would simply be saute shallots and butter, add morels, work them until the water content is worked out. They begin to caramelize. And you could add a little bit of cognac or Madeira to that sauce, add cream. You could add stock to that sauce, stock reduction, salt and pepper, let it work. And you could either leave the morels whole or you could puree the sauce and strain it.
If you're trying to take advantage of the texture of the morels, I would rather have it with just the saute of the morels, because the whole thing about the sauce being crispy would definitely be the thing. For cooking morels,
the
sweetbread being crispy. Mm-hmm. For cooking the morels, a lot of times people will cook mushrooms just for a little while and they're kind of like soft and spongy and they have very little flavor. I think two things that they often don't do. One, if you have them a day before you're going to use them, they actually dry out a little bit reasonably in your refrigerator. As long as they're in a refrigerator with some kind of air moving, you know, that's, if you wrap them up tight, they're going to be wrapped up with their moisture. If you keep them even just covered in cheesecloth or something like that, where there's air actually moving in there, they'll dry out a little bit and you will get a better result cooking those mushrooms if they have 24 hours of drying out a little bit in the refrigerator. The second thing is that people don't have patience oftentimes in cooking mushrooms and they think they can just put them in the oven for X amount of time and just leave them and that's the end of it.
No.
And you have to, if you're going to cook them in the oven or if you're going to cook them on the stovetop, it needs to be a heavy pan on the stovetop and the heat can't be too high and you have to be patient with it.
Definitely.
And they need to move from time to time. So you cook all parts of the mushrooms evenly and you just keep rendering out the water, mm-hmm. and get to the essence of the flavor of the mushroom. And what happens is the texture then begins to become that slightly caramelized, woodsy, delicate little texture that you want from the mushroom. Morels are more that way than almost anything else, and because they can be spongy and sort of disgusting, or they can be marvelous and delicate and have a very intense flavor.
You have to know what you're doing when you cook all mushrooms, and particularly morels or porcinis. And on that dish also, because we are talking about morels, you're in springtime, you might as well put an asparagus garnish on that plate, which morels and asparagus are beautiful together and seasonal at the same time. So
That could be a garnish in the... The asparagus could be your course from earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
With the eggs and aspic, it could be an asparagus garnish with that,
mm-hmm.
or served with it.
That would be good. And I was thinking one of the other courses, if you didn't want to do sweetbreads, you could try something else that's a little bit challenging, which is to make quenelles.
Let me give you wine for sweetbreads and morels.
Mm-hmm.
If it's grilled sweetbreads, if you're brushing them with oil, you finish brushing them with butter, that's going to change actually how much oak you might want on the wine that you're going to choose, whether it's white or red. Same thing with cooking the mushrooms. If say you're sauteing them patiently for a long time and you finish them with with butter. Again, you, either way, it's white Burgundy is probably one of the best possible choices, but a big, robust one, Merceau, Coton Charlemagne, something like that. If not that, honestly, California Chardonnay, really big first-class stuff, whether it's Aubert or Palmeyer or one of the great big robust guys. One that runs a little bit under the radar sometimes, it is fantastic and very age-worthy and very interesting to age, is Mount Eden Estate Vineyards. Their Chardonnay, I've had, 15, 20 years old and has still been in very good shape from good vintages. 8 to 10 years is fantastic. The 96 is still very alive right now, which is kind of a fun, almost anomaly. Because I've had a chance to taste that wine throughout its entire life. And literally, like the day he put it in the tank, until now, and the wine, the color hasn't even degraded at all. But that's big-bodied and robust and has some oak, and it likes the flavors for sure. Red wine, if you're going to have red wine with that dish, there's almost no fat to the sweetbread. Zero.
Right.
So what it doesn't need is tannin. What it doesn't need is something that's going to try to bite through the delicate texture that's there. That's the reason why if it's red, it's got to be something very sheer. If it's Pinot, if it's Burgundy, it's got to be something where the alcohol is not too high, where there's not too much oak tannin that's there, and it would just be flavoring, and that it's something that's very sheer, something delicate. Montelie, an appellation you don't see a whole lot in Burgundy, or some other Cote de Beaune that has a little bottle age on it from a softer year. That's the kind of thing that makes sense with that.
I love big red wines. Is there something other than a Pinot that we could use?
You could. Big means one of two things usually when people say it. Either it's big and tannic, which would kind of crush the course, the delicacy of the course, or it means it's big in alcohol and sort of volume. Both of those things would be tough on the course. I would say almost something more intense. A lot of times I'll sub in something that's kind of intense. Syrah from the Rhone Valley, from maybe Côte Rôtie, that appellation, that Syrah that's not too tannic, it's dark flavors. That's something where you would want the garnish on your sweetbreads to be more intensely flavored. That's the one. The thing is, you kind of have to, you take your garnish and your wine to kind of the same thing. If you're wearing a pastel shirt and you're wearing electric blue pants, it's going to look pretty wacky because the power of the colors is off. It's the same thing as trying to pair the wine in the dish.
So maybe we could add a little bacon or garlic or
exactly
something like that to the dish to bring in some other
bacon
strong
bacon in with the morels and bacon flavors. In with the morels and garlic in the morels with the with the sweetbread would be fantastic with the Côte Rôtie.
Okay, there we go.
So when we come back on Foreman & Wolfram Food and Wine, we're going to wrap up this party with that last meat dish, cheese course, sweets, maybe a contemplative spirit, and and our interview with Chris Blandy from Blandy's Madeira.